Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's October 13, 2011, and this is episode 302. This week, I've had the absolute pleasure of being able to test and review a Drobo, which, as most of you already know, is an external storage device that takes multiple hard drives, even drives of different sizes, and creates one or more large volumes with redundancy. So even if one of the drives fails, as they eventually all do, your data is safe. I'm really happy to tell you as well that we are also going to give away a Drobo courtesy of Drobo. So stay tuned to see how you can be in with a chance to get your own 4-bay Drobo to protect your precious images and other data. First, here's my review of the Drobo. When I unboxed the Drobo, I was immediately reminded of how it felt when I first opened my MacBook Pro box in January. I haven't come across many companies that get packaging like Apple does, but Drobo are very close. You're greeted with "Welcome to the World of" on the box as you open the outer box, and then as you lift that first box out, the Drobo in a nice black cloth bag with the word Drobo on the top is in white is really nice. It's just very classy. The box that comes out from the top, it contains all that you need to connect the Drobo to your computer, including both a FireWire 800 and USB cable. There's also a nice printed manual, and I was surprised to see this at first. And, you know, most companies now put their manuals on the CD along with the drivers. But on the day that I unpacked the Drobo, I'd actually already had a very busy day and was ready for a bit of a relax. So I was able to take the manual down to the living room and read through it in front of the TV instead of having to read it on my computer, which I thought was a really nice added bonus. The unit that I got was a basic Drobo with 4 bays. As 3 terabyte drives are still quite expensive, I decided to use eventually up to 4 2-terabyte Hitachi 7200 RPM drives. Drobo suggests either green drives, which are slower, or up to 7200 RPM drives for this model, but I generally try to buy the fastest drives possible, as this will affect read-write speeds, even if the USB and FireWire interfaces are going to become the bottleneck here. The Drobo does a lot of internal handling of data between disks too, which is probably faster with faster drives. To test how the Drobo automatically expands as you include more drives, I initially loaded just 3 of the 4 2-terabyte drives and connected the Drobo to my Mac Mini. As I mentioned in episode 293 when we discussed backing up and accessing photos from laptops, I keep a Mac Mini turned on and connected. I have some of my hard drives connected all of the time, so I can access my images and other data from all around my studio and house without having to physically be connected to those drives. I don't use straight network storage, as I also want to be able to install Backblaze so that whenever I copy anything new to these drives, it automatically gets uploaded into the cloud. To set up and control your Drobo, you install a cool bit of software called the Drobo Dashboard that comes on the CD. You're asked if you want to automatically install new software and firmware updates, which Drobo suggests you turn on. I did, as it seems that Drobo release updates to smaller groups of users initially to ensure that there are no problems before carrying out the automatic updates. Something that struck me as strange initially, but makes a lot of sense bearing the technology in mind, is that Drobo advise you to create your initial volume at the maximum size possible, which is 16 terabytes. This is to allow the drive to expand in the future if you run out of space. If you have all 4 bays filled and you do run out of space, you just pull out one of the drives and put in a new larger one, Of course, you can only do one at a time like this because, you know, the unit only protects against one drive failure. By creating a 16 terabyte volume to start with, though, this allows you to install up to four terabyte drives in the future, and the drive will be able to grow to that size without having to be reformatted. Once you put your drives in and select your format and, you know, give the volume a name, etc., the Drobo just takes a few minutes to format the drive and ready itself to protect your data. Once it's ready, I copied 1.6 terabytes of data to the drive to start some tests. Speed-wise, the Drobo is as fast as my other external USB drives, though when connected via FireWire 800, it does get a little faster. The unit isn't silent, but it's much quieter than I expected it to be for a unit of this size, even when I installed four hard drives later. Sometimes it did get noticeably louder as it worked hard copying lots of data on, you know, a pretty hot afternoon in my studio, but it didn't get loud enough to really annoy me, and it was only when it was working hard that it made any real noise at all. It runs very cool too, never getting warm to the touch, which is pretty impressive, especially when you consider how hot the drives get when they're spun up. I know this because I use some of my drives just stuck into a device that you can see in the photo that you're either going to be looking at on your iPhone or on the blog. But basically, you know, this device allows me to use bare drives and they get very warm. You can also see in this photo that the Drobo looks great. All in all, I found it to be very well engineered. You don't need to use a screwdriver at any time. You drop your four drives in and they just click into place, and then the front panel is magnetized, so you can just pull it off to get to the drives and then reattach it really easily but securely. Once the Drobo was set up and had a good amount of data on it, I decided it was time to do a few tests. So at 1 p.m. on October 9, I pulled out one of the three 2 terabyte hard drives while the Drobo was running, simulating a drive failure. Once I'd pulled one of the three drives out, I opened the dashboard and the drive was now marked with red, and the bottom of the three green lights on the front of the Drobo turned red, indicating the drive failure. I opened the drive in the Finder though, to see that the data on the drive was fine and I could still access all of my images and edit them in Lightroom, which I tried just a few minutes after pulling the drive out, which I thought was pretty impressive. This, of course, though, now meant that there was no redundancy, so my data was not protected against one of the remaining two drives failing. To test the rebuilding of the data and get, you know, back to a state where my data would be protected again, I put in the fourth 2 terabyte drive that I'd bought into the third bay on the Drobo. With the new third drive installed, the Drobo took literally just a minute or so to prepare the new drive and increase the available volume of the drive back to 3.6 terabytes. Note that drive manufacturers count drive capacity differently to how computers calculate it, so a 2 terabyte drive is actually only around 1.8 terabytes to the computer, and because you need to spread the data for redundancy across the other drives in the unit, when you have three 2 terabyte drives installed, this gives you 3.6 terabytes of protected storage. Although the Drobo increased the volume of my drive almost immediately, it actually took the Drobo about 15 hours after that to rebuild the redundancy data so that once again I'd, you know, be able to fully protect my data. I imagine this will also vary with the amount of data that you actually store on your Drobo. I was able to use the Drobo the whole time and even copied some new data across while I was waiting for it to rebuild itself. Once the Drobo was healthy again, and I was able to protect my data, the cool graphic showing the state of my Drobo turned back to green, and a message at the bottom of the screen told me that my Drobo was now healthy again and had sufficient capacity. In the Drobo dashboard preferences, there's an option to set up mail alerts, which I did. So as soon as I pulled out that drive to test the unit, I received an email telling me that the Drobo was in trouble. And then another when I put in a new drive and the Drobo started to work towards getting back into a data protection state. I also set up my MacBook Pro to accept Growl updates from my Mac Mini. So as long as I'm somewhere in my house or studio, if something goes wrong with the Drobo, I'll see this instantly on my screen, even though I might not have my, you know, my mail open. I found that both these ways of being kept up to date with the state of the Drobo give you peace of mind, especially when you're out and about. Even if I couldn't get home immediately to correct a problem, I could alert someone at home to take action, such as go out and buy a new drive and actually replace a failed one, which is pretty comforting to know, especially as, you know, my wife is totally non-technical, and although it would freak her out, I know that it would be easy enough for her to be able to do. Once I'd confirmed the Drobo was now working normally with the 3 2-terabyte drives installed, I did my last test, which was to increase the capacity using the 4th drive I'd bought. Having reformatted the drive, because, you know, remember it was the one that I'd pulled out the previous day to simulate the failure, I inserted that 4th drive into the unit while the Drobo was running. Again, literally within about a minute, the drive was prepared for use, and my available volume jumped from 3.6 terabytes to 5.42 terabytes. When you only have 3 hard disks in the unit, it has to share the redundancy data for each drive across the other two. So for your 5.42 terabytes of disk space, 3.6 seems, you know, quite small, as you have to use 1/3 of each drive, the capacity of each drive, for redundancy. When you have 4 drives installed, though, the redundancy data is spread across 3 other drives, not just 2. So you get to use more of the installed capacity. So for the actual capacity of 4 2-terabyte drives, which is 7.27 terabytes, I get to use 75% of that instead of just 2/3. That gives me a nice beefy 5.42 terabytes of protected data. Even though the Drobo does a great job of protecting your data, we've discussed in the past, you know, your precious images should always exist in 3 places to be totally safe. You still need to ensure that you have at least 1 more backup of your images close by, and ideally, you'll have at least 1 more copy of your data off-site in case something should happen to your home or office. I generally have at least 2 copies of my images in my studio, usually 3, and then 1 that automatically gets uploaded to Backblaze, giving me a copy in the cloud. Also, at the end of each year, I send a hard drive with all of my images on to my brother in the UK as another off-site storage solution. If you value your images, and I know that you do, then do try to ensure that you have a good backup regime in place and don't rely on just 1 device, even the Drobo. You never want to be in a position where a natural disaster or a single point of failure could result in you losing all of your work. I've been aware of and secretly lusted after a Drobo for a number of years now. Since shifting to a MacBook Pro as my main computer, I've been using multiple external drives to store my data on. And although this works, it's always a bit of a worry to keep them powered up all the time, as, you know, most external drives are just single drives without any redundancy. All of my drives run pretty hot too, which will doubtlessly reduce their lifespan. So there's a constant worry that these drives will fail. The Drobo, though, removes that worry. With its great engineering and redundancy, as well as really cool-looking, full-featured dashboard, it gives you a lot of peace of mind. With the amount of storage, I will be able to copy all of my data, and not just my photo library, which is currently about 2.3 terabytes. And then as the data basically grows, as obviously it will as I shoot more images, I'll gradually switch out drives to larger ones as they get cheaper. And the drives that I take out won't go to waste, as I have to have something to put my off-site backups on to send to my brother in the UK. So I don't mind those backups being split across multiple drives, so that those drives will get used. For the studio, I'm seriously considering picking up a second 4-bay Drobo and just setting that up to copy anything new from the first drive to the second drive every night using the scheduled copy functionality in the dashboard. Then I'd be able to do away with all of my external drives and just run the two Drobos. Just time that would save me, you know, not having to mess around backing all of my data to external drives would probably pay for a second Drobo within a year. As I mentioned earlier, the kind folks at Drobo have agreed to give away a Drobo to a lucky winner picked at random from the list of people that register using a simple web form. For your chance to win, just go to mbp.ac/drobo, D-R-O-B-O, and enter your details and submit the form. That's all you have to do. Here's the cool thing though. If more than 1,000 people register, Drobo will give us 2 units, not just one. So don't just keep this to yourself. Tell your friends, and let's see if we can't get 2 Drobos instead of just one. The offer is open until midnight PST on November 1st, 2011. Then on November 2nd, Drobo will let me know who the winner, or hopefully winners, are, and I'll drop you a line with the good news. Whoever wins, I know that you're going to love your new Drobo as much as I do mine. Good luck. Thanks once again to Drobo for your kindness and generosity, and thank you for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, as well as my blog and the photography forum, among other places. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.